Fanboy Smackdown, episode number 44, for Friday, August the 10th, 2007. Fun Boy Smackdown! Hey, this is Tony, and you are listening to another episode of Fanboy Smackdown Podcast. Again, the other Tony is not with me. He is still eyeballs deep in work and is just about to start law school. So his busyness factor is not going down anytime soon. Mine, on the other hand, is actually starting to improve just slightly. A major project at work was just completed, and actually it's just on the down curve right now, so might have a couple of more days of some busyness, but we'll go into a little bit of a lull before the fun begins again. Anyway, we're doing another episode of On the Lot, and I think we've only got like two or three more of these to go before it's all wrapped up. The this week's episode is the contest for this week surrounds a log line that was submitted by a viewer, and the log line is: a man wakes up, finds himself in a dress, and can't remember what happened the night before. So this episode is going to, each of the films in this week's episode had that log line. Now, before they got to any of that, they had the elimination. I nailed it last week. This week, I was completely off. this week, Zach Lipofsky was eliminated, and man, I had such high hopes for this guy. I was, you know, in the first couple of weeks, I thought he was just a shoo-in, which never really bodes well. It always seems that the guy that you think is going to win from day one, something happens somewhere along the way, and they don't. And sure enough, it did happen with Zach. I guess the American public just wasn't a big fan of the two pieces that he had back-to-back that made a sequel. And the first one didn't get wasn't very well received. The second one, while better, was, I guess, just not well enough received. And it turns out that Jason, the one that I speculated was going to go, wasn't even in the bottom two. So there you have it. That's what I know. But you know, this is my opinion against that of the American public, the American voting public for this, and the public that can vote more than one time. And the way I watch these shows after the fact and make my notes and such, I don't even think that I could vote considering when I actually watch these shows. So I'm not part of that voting public. This week we also have some viewer email, listener email. Yeah, this is not a video cast, and there are reasons for that. this week is we have a listener email from Darren, and I'll get to that after the rest of this, because it spoils a little bit of one of the films this week. So I want to go through the films, talk about my thoughts on them, and then I will get to Darren's email. A couple of points of note: it's just come to my attention that because the voicemail is so infrequently used, and I didn't do my due diligence of calling it at least once a month, the Fanboy Smackdown line that we have had since the beginning is no more. The number has gone poof. So I am working on getting a new number. In the interim, you can always record something and send it to me directly, or try and catch me on Skype and we can record something there. If you know, none of that works out, just wait a couple of weeks. I'm going to get a new number with a new service. I've already started working on it. I just don't have all my ducks in a row quite yet to make sure that that everything's working just right. And when I do that, I'm going to go back through and retro on the website. Hopefully, I'll be able to do this and change all the references to email. I'm sorry, to the phone number throughout the text of the website. I'm not going back and re-recording audio, but I'm going to hopefully make sure that any of the phone numbers listed on the website are listed correctly. So, but for right now, the early part of August 2007, the voicemail line does not work, and hopefully we'll get that that going again here very soon. Now that hopefully things, I'm able to catch a breath, I might be able to get that taken care of sometime next week. The other thing was I apologize for posting this week's episode so late. My intention was to edit it. I recorded it Wednesday night, and I was supposed to edit it Thursday night for posting on Friday. Thursday night, I went out for scotch and cigars with T. Morris. He was in town for Archon, the sci-fi fantasy convention, and I had the opportunity to hook up with him and have a couple of drinks with him and the guys from the Fear of the Boot podcast. So that was a lot of fun. Had a good time just sitting back, you know, being geeky, drinking scotch. And T and some of the Fear of the Boot guys were smoking cigars. I don't smoke, so that excuse me, that's part of the reason I don't. That precluded me from that part of the evening, but we had a great time, you know, talking geek trash and you know, sipping on some great 18-year Macallan scotch, just really good stuff, telling stories. We have most of the evening recorded for posterity, and pieces of that may show up in the podcast or might be sprinkled around the internet, depending on how good the audio is. I still haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. Things have been kind of crazy. Getting past all of the business end of this, let's go ahead and dive right into the films this week. There were only four films this week because, I mean, that's how many folks are left. There's only four guys left. Adam, Jason, Sam, and Will. So we're going to jump right in, and I will give you an overview of those films, and if my tongue decides to work right, an overview of those films and my thoughts on what how I thought each of these films fared, if they did the job they were supposed to do, and which one I think is best and the worst. So this week, the first one I'm going to do, I'm going to do it the same way I've been doing it, alphabetical order by first name. So Adam Stein's Army Guy was the first one. This was a film that, and for anybody who's listening to this for the first time, these films are only 2 minutes long. You can get the links at fanboysmackdown.com to the website, which is thelot.com, and I have all the links directly to the films. Go watch them. They're only a couple of minutes each. Pause it right now. In 10 minutes, come back. You've watched all four films, and I won't have spoiled anything for you. So, Army Guy. This one, it's interestingly enough, there were two films that I felt really were a play on things that have come before. Actually, probably three films that played on things that kind of cliches in storytelling and films that I've seen before, and one of them did very well. One of them did a fair job, and one of them kind of missed the mark. The first one, Army Guy, I think did really well. It was kind of a take on the idea of Toy Story, the Velveteen Rabbit, where the animal or the toy really has it's a sentient being. It has it has feelings, it has thoughts. In this one, there is an army man, and this guy's a Sergeant Joe. He's a tough guy, and he's in a dress, and he wakes up next to Candy, and Candy immediately wants to know if they can get married. You quickly realize that it's childhood fantasy, and there's an army man in with this basically a house full of Barbies, all named Candy, who all look alike, who all have different professions and different, slightly different personalities, but their main goal for each one of them is they want to marry him. So he, but he is tracking a Russian spy who just also happens to be in a dress, chasing him through the house, some fun misadventures. It's pretty obvious where it heads until you start hearing the children speaking. I guess the boy has realized that his sister is using his army men, and hands reach into the house, pull out this army man. They kind of pan out and show the children actually doing a tug of war with a plastic figure. It frames in on the actual army man himself, and he's a living being again. Now the children only see him as a plastic toy, but we see him as a being. And eventually the toy gets discarded into a box of other toys, and he's in a box full of candies, and they're all asking him if he wants to get married. And I guess he finally kind of submits to the idea, and he lifts his belt and checks and realizes that he has the same anatomical structure as pretty much every G.I. Joe type figure that there was. And he's kind of disappointed in that. And that's how the film ends. I thought it was very well done. It was clever. It had a real sweetness to it, I guess. It was nostalgic. It brought back those feelings of playing with the toys as a kid. The girl was you know, putting her fantasies onto each of the characters that she managed to get the G.I. Joe into a dress. And it was just a lot of fun. It was very lighthearted. There was just a real pleasantness to the story. It told a complete story, and I thought it was just very well done. The effects were really well placed, especially the hand reaching in to grab the soldier figure, and then all of the duplication of all the different candies throughout the house. That, you know, by the necessity of the story, there were three or four of them in a shot at a time. I thought that was really well done and very well played for the effort of the storytelling, and to show that Adam can really use the special effects very well for his storytelling. So I thought Army Guy was fantastic. I thought it absolutely hit the mark. The second film this week is Jason Epperson's Oh Boy. This one is another one of those films that it felt, actually, you know, now that I think about it, all four films kind of, you know, played on something that was rather cliche. But getting back to that, Oh Boy, this is kind of, it starts out with, there's a guy wakes up in the middle of a yard with a dress. He's wearing a dress, which, you know, is the motif of all these films. There's a walkie-talkie next to him, and he's immediately told to get up and start dancing around the yard. He's got a bomb attached to him, and he's going to be made to perform and do all these things. So he has to dance around the yard, and he eventually has to find a house with a red door, go up and get into an argument with the owner of the home, whoever answers the door. A large gentleman answers the door. The man in the dress only has a couple of seconds to get into an argument with this person. So he reaches up and kisses the guy on the lips, and the guy belts him and knocks him into the middle of the yard. When he does so, the walkie-talkie that he's being given all these commands with falls into a birdbath and is rendered useless. So this kind of nerdy guy who's also about the same age runs out and starts accosting this guy and, you know, telling him that the reason he did this was because he was made fun of in high school, and this guy did it, and apparently there's been a a case of mistaken identity that one guy was Jay Smith and he was Jason Smith, so the attacker had the wrong person that he was attacking and torturing with this bomb. So the two men, you know, the bomb gets removed, and there's a humorous little bit with the bomb being removed. The guy has to get up under the other guy's dress, so it doesn't look real good there for a few minutes. Gets the bomb off. They talk, they embrace, and the bomb goes off. In the last sequence, you see the two guys looking very much like you'd see them in a Bugs Bunny cartoon, where they're all blackened and their clothes are kind of tattered, and one has his glasses askew, and the guy who had been accosted just calls him, he kind of teases him, making fun of him in that nerdy name that he was accosted with in high school. So all in all, you know, it was very much a Revenge of the Nerds type story. The spirit of it just wasn't very pleasant. It was really uncomfortable when you realize this guy had bombs attached to him. It just wasn't, I don't know. It just didn't, it just had a really negative impact on me. I just didn't care for this film. I think Jason has done a fine job in some of his past films. This one just really wasn't speaking to me. I just really did not care for this one. I think this one fell short of the mark. So those are the first two films. I'm going to take a little break. I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk about the last two films and read Darren's email. And I will talk to you guys again in a few.
Hi, this is Doc from Des Moines. My real name is Dr. Alan Koslow, and I'm a surgeon in Des Moines and obviously a sci-fi freak. I'm also the director of the blood drive at the Dragon Con, the Heinlein blood drive at Dragon Con. I'm going to be making this blood drive dedicated to Joe, and so I was wondering if you could do the shout-out on all of the Far Point programs and say everybody going to Dragon Con. If you do normally give blood, hold off for the six between now and Dragon Con so that you're able to give blood at Dragon Con. And if you don't give blood, think about giving blood at Dragon Con. Everyone who donates blood at Dragon Con is going to get a ribbon that says, "I gave blood for Joe." Just to let you know, patients who have cancer probably use up more blood than any other category of patients. And patients like Joe need blood transfusions. And so in Joe's memory, let's go ahead and donate some blood at Dragon Con, and you'll get a ribbon saying, "I gave blood for Joe." Look forward to seeing you all at Dragon Con. Look me up at the blood drive and at the podcasting seminar, and look forward to seeing you all there. Thanks a lot.
Hey, I'm back. And yeah, that may not sound like a regular promo, but it definitely is. It's for the Heinlein blood drive at Dragon Con. And you know, it's also another great way to honor Joe Murphy. One of the cool things that happened to me over the weekend when I met T, he gave me one of the Joe Murphy Our Missing Ninja wristbands. He gave it to me, and you know, I still gave him a donation. Those guys are doing such great things. If you get a chance, if you haven't checked it out already, Joe Murphy Memorial Fund. They're collecting money. They're doing great work. This is one of the things that is really cool about podcasting. It's something that everyone can get involved in, and really make themselves be heard about something. So, no, I'm not going to Dragon Con. I wish I were. I wish I'd be able to participate. And if I were going, I would absolutely give blood at that time. But I'm not going. So not unless someone can fork over some copious amounts of cash, enough not only to get me to Atlanta, but to pay for a weekend-long babysitter for Julie so she can take the weekend off. back to the matter at hand, the reason you're listening, to find out my thoughts and how things went on the other two films for On the Lot this week. And the next one is Sam Friedlander, Dress for Success. This one, it started off with a guy in a dress who's seemed to be captured. he's being held, and excuse me. Yeah, my throat's starting to go. I'm going to try to get through this, hopefully without doing that too many more times. Anyway, this one, it's kind of a revenge fantasy a la 9 to 5. There's a guy who has been harassing women in this office. We first see him as he is captured. And then we get kind of a flashback to see how he's been harassing some of the women in the office. He'll knock a book out of their hands so that when they bend over, he can peek down their dress. And he mentions to one woman that, you know, she's wearing flats, she should wear heels because it makes her calves look nicer. Just all the very general misogynistic comments that. Very, very stereotypical sexual harassment kind of stuff. Basically, this is the kind of thing you would watch in a video of what not to do for sexual harassment in the workplace. And this guy does it all. So these women then subject him to the tortures that he subjects to them. They make him, these women have, we find out these women have captured him. They make him put on heels and walk on a treadmill while he's trying to serve coffee. And that part's rather humorous, but, and in the end he has had a great change of heart and he treats them more respectfully. And then the last thing that we see is a man walk through the office and he turns around and kind of smacks that guy on the ass, which is a very weird turn. this one was okay. The army guy kind of had a sweetness to it. Both this one and Oh Boy just kind of had a negativeness, a harshness about them that it wasn't necessary. It did what they were intending in telling a story. With having this one, this one really called to mind 9 to 5, and 9 to 5 was so fun, even when they were torturing Dabney Coleman. This one, it had a darker edge to it, and it didn't need. It was just more when the scenes of torture, it was more stark. I think it felt a little short of its mark. I think it should have stayed lighter throughout. And I really, I didn't quite get why in the end he would turn around and smack another guy on the ass. That's locker room, guys going into the dugout kind of thing. It just didn't really click. And, maybe I'm just missing that all of a sudden now he's harassing the guys. That just doesn't make any sense. So this one, while it was okay, it just didn't really work. Now the last film that I'm going to talk about is The Yes Men. In this one, we see kind of you see a man wake up in his office wearing a dress, and he we get off really early. We get the idea that he has a penchant for firing people who don't go along with his ideas, who don't do as he does. And he calls in a couple of guys in the office, and they, you know, he's asking about the sales reports, and he calls a meeting in 10 minutes. Well, you see him marching through the office, and he's wearing a dress and heels, and for a man, and from everything I've heard, how difficult it is to walk in heels, he apparently does. I mean, he really seemingly does a fairly good job at it, which was kind of funny. He then speaks to his staff and, you know, says he needs to see a change by 3 o'clock. He wants to see a change in this office and, you know, in his workforce. And, you know, he got where he is, and he said that one day he would stand in the shoes of his predecessor, and today he is in those shoes. And they kind of pan down to show the heels. So you get kind of the joke there that something else is going on. Eventually, there's kind of a one-off line at the beginning that someone was that the person there's a person on an intercom system asking him if he got his dry cleaning okay. Well, slowly throughout the course of the day, we realized that some of these guys are now trying to wear dresses, and his dry cleaning was misdelivered. So he gets his business suit and goes into the 3 o'clock meeting in his business suit, and all of the guys in his sales force are now wearing dresses, with the exception of one, Mr. Anderson. And they, you know, he asks them, you know, what kind of change have they made, and you know, what is he seeing before him? And one guy stands up and says, well, I'm wearing this purple gown, and starts, you know, kind of using that he's emulating the boss by wearing the dress. And then Anderson, the one guy in a suit, says, makes a suggestion where they can save, you know, $1 million a year, or some figure, something like that, $1.5 million or something like that a year. And, you know, he congratulates Anderson for his good work, and turns around and says, everyone wearing a dress, you're fired. And as that happens, someone walks into the office with a delivery for Mr. Anderson, and it's another dress. So, and that's how it ends. It's it has a complete thought all the way through it. Kind of simplistic. At first I thought it was going for an Emperor's New Clothes kind of take on it, but it really didn't go down that path, and it was nice to see that it did not. I thought it was a simple premise, but it worked. It really didn't try to do anything too fancy. And it was nice to see that all the guys who were sucking up to the boss got what was coming to them. They were all fired. Again, I thought this one, well, probably not the best story of the week. I think this one was a good story. I thought this film was very well done. As far as that goes, I I would have to give the film this week the I felt was the best film was Army Guy, Adam Stein's film, that was kind of the take on Toy Story. It was just, it's not an original concept, but it was very well executed. It told the story very well, and it wasn't, there was no ambiguity to it. It was, you knew what was going on the whole time, which helps a lot. That would bring it back to the two that I just didn't really feel as much for, Oh Boy and Dress for Success. You know, as well as Jason has done in the past, he just has not been clicking the last couple of weeks. And Dress for Success, it kind of had that mean-spiritedness to it. It was a darker 9-to-5, and it just didn't really work as well. I'm torn, but if I'm going to have to, if I'm going to be pegged to pick one of them to go this week, I'm going to say Oh Boy. But I think if not Oh Boy, then probably Dress for Success. If I'd have to pick the bottom two, I would think those would be it with Oh Boy, Jason Epperson leaving this week. So we'll see. We'll see next week. We'll see how everything works out. But that said, that's my picks for this week's On the Lot. We do have a voicemail, and this was sent to me regarding some other stuff, but it includes some On the Lot stuff. So I kind of pulled out the On the Lot references, and I'm including it in this episode. I hope you don't mind, Darren. Plus, these episodes are getting a little shorter now that there's not as many films. So if you guys have some feedback, you want to chime in on what you thought of some of these films in email or voicemail, when I get the voicemail working again. Otherwise, you can always record something and mail it to me. Please, by all means, I'd love to include it on each week's episode. I normally record them, normally Wednesday, Thursday night, when the show broadcasts on Tuesday. So if you see it on Tuesday, you've got a couple of days to think about it and get your thoughts together, either in email or voicemail. So by all means, please do so. Okay, on to Darren's email. He says, finally, this week, an episode of On the Lot that I was genuinely enthused over. Down to the final four. In case you haven't seen it yet, he says he won't spoil who goes home this week. He said he thought that Adam Stein has been the guy to watch, and last night he delivered the single best film made this season. I don't know if it's the single best film made this season, but I absolutely agree. It was definitely the best film of the week. That's my commentary. It was original, inventive, extremely well made and acted, and something that all the judges were extremely enthusiastic over, even going so far as to have them all unanimous as far as the best film of the night. Well, that's good. That means at least in this one, I am along with the judges on that. Since I don't watch that portion, I'm kind of miss out on what the judges say about these. He says, for the first time, I actually voted this season and probably got in 20 votes for Adam Stein last night. Just brilliant. Even made Plastic Gristle, which is apparently Darren's nickname for Adriana Costa. It even made Adriana Costa that she couldn't spoil last night's show. And that's a big deal. They did not do well picking a host for this show. There's nothing there. She looks nice, but she's not host material. She does not do a very good job hosting this show. It's really as simple as that. That's my commentary. I think I've said that before, and I'm standing by that one. She's never impressed me, and it's one of the other reasons why I enjoy recording and watching the show the way I do, that I don't have to really watch any of the portions with her in it. And for me, that only helps my viewing experience. So then he goes on to say, about the format of the show, he thinks it's almost virtually impossible for them to do anything other than comedic shorts on the show. The length of the clips and just the climate of the show just don't seem conducive to any other format than a comedic vignette. Anytime anyone has tried to do something more serious, like Mateen or Kenny Luby, it just seems like the crowd was thrown into a downer after it. I have to absolutely agree with that. It's and it's unfortunate that we don't get to see more range and more drama come out of these, but it's just so difficult to get the pacing right and to tell a decent story in such a short time frame. And it's so much easier just to go for a joke and to get somebody to laugh at something. It's comedy's hard, but to tell a joke, to tell one joke is a whole lot easier than to to set the stage for a drama in just 2 minutes. So I absolutely agree with Darren on that. What would be really nice, and I know it's just one of those things that is just not possible, is to see a show where they could spread things out a little more. It would have been nicer to see if they could have been able to do some dramas earlier on when the filmmakers were only making something every 2 weeks. It would have been nice to see them attempt something like that, maybe give them a little more time, maybe a 5-minute episode, or even give them kind of a scene set and let them, you know, play off of that. Though that might even go kind of against the spirit of it. It would just be nice to see them do pieces that are a little bit longer, maybe have some drama to them, and you know, this is a show for directors, but they're really writing and directing, which is, that adds a layer of difficulty to it also that should not go unnoted. To both write and direct a film, you're putting everything in that one person's hands, and there's not as much creative input as you would have, you know, in a lot of other things where you have separate writers and directors. Some people do it very well. Kevin Smith is an example of someone who does it very well and also surrounds himself with people that can help fill in where his gaps are, like in the cinematography and videography. He's admittedly not very creative with the camera. I remember vividly watching Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back and actually noticing that the camera moved. And that was kind of a big deal, because in most Kevin Smith films, the camera doesn't really move. It's on a person's face while they're talking, which, I mean, it tells a story. He can still tell a good story just through the dialogue, but the visuals aren't always the best. But in later films he has surrounded himself with some good people to help out that gap. Then you have someone like George Lucas, where he writes and directs everything and really should have some more creative input. It's, you know, you can complain about George Lucas all you want. The man can tell a good story. He needs help with dialogue. He needs help directing actors. He can craft a really good story, though. This is the guy who brought us Star Wars. He brought us Indiana Jones. He brought us Willow. He can tell good stories. He can create good characters. The words that come out of their mouth and the actors and directing the actors to speak the lines and really make the audience feel them, he needs help with that. You know, it's something he is he should work more as a collaborator instead of as someone who does it all. So that's my little George Lucas rant. So I'm going to call this one a wrapped episode before I completely lose my voice and start hacking and coughing into the microphone, which wouldn't do anyone any good. Please, if you have any comments, send an email, fanboysmackdown@gmail.com. If you want to record a comment and email it, same address until we get that voicemail line working again. If you've got the equipment to hit me up on Skype, you can do that. Fanboy Smackdown, that's the ID on Skype. And, you know, we can enter a voice chat and you can just record something straight there. I can record it and we'll be good to go. So I hope you all have a great week, and I will see you next time when we'll be down to 3. And if I was hearing correctly, that could be the last one. We'll be down to 3, and we'll be seeing the final films next week. So, should be interesting. Talk to you guys next week. See you.